Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, and welcome to this edition of Passions here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, let's just start right off and just say this right off the top of this show. If you are a host or a guest, and right now I'm really speaking to myself, but if you are a host or a guest, you really do need to clock in to your show at least 10 minutes ahead of time. No matter how good you think you are, and yes, I definitely think I'm good. I mean, after all, I have more than 25 years of radio and television announcing experience. But even I can have issues at the last minute. I waited until the last minute to log into the show, and I didn't even get in until like almost a minute to air. So all I'm saying to you folks, radio hosts, for those of you who don't have as much experience, maybe you need to log in 15 minutes ahead of time. I don't know. But for those of you who have some experience, you should know that you log in. Get yourself prepared. Take a deep breath. Talk to your guest in advance. So that way, when the show finally starts, you'll be amply prepared. Really. I mean, it really is that simple. So I just have to smack myself on my hand for not taking my own advice. That's tacky, isn't it? Okay, well, you know, there's a lot of tacky things that have been going on in the news this week, or should I say last week. What in the world was going on in Cambridge, Massachusetts with this sergeant and Henry Louis Gates? You know, a lot of male testosterone. Everybody's freaking out over what happened. But you know who I blame in all of this? I'm not blaming the sergeant. I'm not blaming Henry Louis Gates. You know who I'm blaming? I'm blaming the neighbor who called. Because you know what that says? It's a sad commentary when you live in a fancy neighborhood like they all lived in and you don't know your neighbors. How sad is that? All she did was look at somebody that she thought was breaking into a house. Didn't really know who it was. The least, I don't know, you know, in the same situation, would I have walked up, gotten a closer look so I could have seen who it was? You know, knowing me, I probably would have, I'm not sure. But, you know, something she could have done. And all of this really probably could have been avoided had she known who her neighbor was. Or even if she didn't know who he was, you know, and she knew that's the house he lived in, she could have said, "Hey, Mr. Gates, how are you today? Welcome back." And if he didn't, if he ignored her, then you get on the phone and call 911, and then you create the uproar. But if he turned around and he said, "Hey," you know, and he looks frustrated, well, and you can recognize him, then yes, you know good and well that it was not, you know, a burglar suspect. Okay. You know, President Obama has decided to invite both of these guys to the White House, not for some Beaujolais or some Cabernet, for a beer. And now I'm curious as to what kind of beer it will be. You know, but like, once again, that's that male testosterone thing going on. So, you know, okay, they can all have a bottle of Bud and everybody will be fine. And then, you know, all will be right with the world. But you know what? I don't think all will be right with the world, because I think that race relations is an issue that is just not going to go away. Because every time someone tries to talk about it or to write about it, you know, it's everybody wants to sing kumbaya for a week or two, and then we go back to being the same hateful, spiteful people that we were before an issue was raised. And that really kind of brings me into tonight's subject matter, and we're talking about blogging. That's right, blogging. And why are we talking about blogging? We're talking about blogging because you know what? Millions of us do it. That's right. There are like millions of us out there who blog. And the cool thing about it is that millions of us are out there blogging about all kinds of subjects. So I'm going to stop right here and bring in my very special guest. And I understand we have some other callers on the line, so we're going to kind of bring them in too. And if you want to get in, I'll give you the number in a little while. But right now, it gives me great pleasure to introduce my special guest tonight. He's kind of like, you know, my sidekick. When I need a guest and need to talk about social media, I call him. His name is Mitch Mitchell. Hey, Mitch, how are you?
Doing great.
Okay, was I going on too much of a rant for you? With this whole male testosterone thing and
you know what?
President Obama.
I'm going to say no because I actually wrote about the topic of my business blog, and I came from a different perspective, slightly. And I think when I came from that perspective, it was male testosterone because I said I had no problem with what President Obama said and why he said it. You know, I have this thing where I think that loyalty is number one at the top of my list. Unless someone has committed a murder or something really bad, you're loyal to your friends. And Gates was his friend, and he said it was a stupid thing. And you know what? That's it. I don't apologize for nothing. So that may be a testosterone thing. I know there's a lot of folks who didn't really agree with me. I don't care.
Well, you know, I did a little different spin on it. I actually cited my own incident with the police because, you know, many of us have had incidents with the police. And what I've come to discover that, you know, it isn't always about race. Sometimes it is just pure, blatant sexism. Some male cops treat women differently. We just had a big scandal in North Carolina where some highway patrol officer was kind of going after the young blonde women and starting out by writing them tickets and then asking for favors in order to get them out of the ticket. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that, you know, law enforcement officers do, and they target, you know, certain ethnic groups or certain sexual-related groups just because, and there's really no reason behind it. So I applaud you. I did read your blog, I want to talk more about, you know, you writing that blog because I actually got a little flack on my blog for what I wrote, and which I love because I love controversy. But
well, you got it from an anonymous person, and take anything. Anytime someone writes and they're anonymous and they don't put their email address or their name in it, most of the time I actually delete it because to me, if you didn't have the guts to even, you know, put an email address in, I don't care what you have to say. So I did read that because I commented on your blog also. And
yes,
to me,
yes.
That's one of the failings of the Internet, blogging and whatever, are those anonymous people who want to hide behind a fake name or no name at all and blast somebody and not have the guts to stand behind it.
All right. And on that note, we don't want the caller with the 540 area code to hide behind their telephone number. Hi, how are you? You're on Passions.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and who is this?
This is Monique Snow.
Oh, hey, Monique, how are you? Mitch, this is one of your followers who started following me on Twitter as a result of being connected to you. How cool is that?
Hi,
cool.
I listened to you guys' other blog talk show a few weeks ago, and then I got connected with Mitch, and then he sent out a tweet about the show today, so I was like, I had to get myself together so I can get on this time, because I really enjoyed the last conversation there.
Well, we aim to please, don't we, Mitch?
Yes, we definitely do.
Okay, we have another caller on the other line here, and I'm not exactly sure what area code it is. It just says 111, but hi there, 111. How are you? Maybe they're just listening, 111. Okay. And maybe that's the anonymous person that actually commented on my blog. We'll leave it at that. Okay. Okay, tonight we are talking about blogging. But we're going to take this. This is not going to be a more or less teaching moment about how to blog and how to set up a blog, because that's not really what this particular show is all about. Tonight we're really going to talk about blogging in the sense of how men blog, how women blog, how African Americans blog, how Caucasians blog, how Latinos blog. We're going to kind of talk about it all to see if there are major differences, no differences. Why do you think one group blogs a certain way versus another group? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. So, if you want to get a pen and a piece of paper, you can, but I don't necessarily recommend it because I want this to be an engaging, lively discussion. And for those of you who would like to call in and join in and tell us why you blog, please do so. The number is 347-324-3935. Okay, Mitch, the primary reason I asked you to be a guest on the show is because, of course, you're male and you're a blogger. And the thing that about your blogs is that, first of all, when I first started reading your blogs, I really couldn't even understand what you were saying. They were so technical. And I was like, okay, why am I reading these blogs? But I remain committed to reading them because I follow you on Twitter, and I really just like you. So, okay, I can put up with reading a blog I don't understand and a blog that is way too long. That's my opinion. So with that being said, tell me on the I'm Just Sharing blog, because that's the one I'm talking about, imjustsharing.com, why you chose the particular style of writing that you write there.
Well, I tell you the truth. When I first decided I wanted that domain name, I really wasn't sure what I was going to write and how I was going to write it. And so probably for the first 3 or 4 months, I had these little short posts that really meant nothing. I felt nothing for it whatsoever. I was writing what I felt like writing, but I really wasn't saying anything. I would hear a topic, and I'd write a couple of paragraphs. And then one day it just hit me. I said, this is boring. I don't care about this. And if I don't care about it, no one else is going to care about it. Let's see what happens if I actually start writing about stuff that I care about or, something I really want to write on. And so I started doing that, and it started getting a little bit of attention. And, I said, well, maybe this is really the way to go. And that's why I write that way. When you see those, what you call those long posts, that's actually how I write. That's how I talk. That's my mind formulating things. I'm not one of those bloggers who takes 3 or 4 days trying to figure out how to say something. I just say it. I don't take a lot of time worrying about keywords on my blog. I just write, and it's there. And then I look to see if there's any red squiggly lines saying that I misspelled something, and I'll correct that, and then it's posted.
But then let me ask you a question. When you sit down to write a blog, are you writing to a specific audience? By that I mean, are you writing to techies? Are you writing to folks who really want to know about AdSense and links or are you writing specifically to males? Because I notice when I go to your blogs, you do have a very engaging blog. You definitely have more men who comment than women. So are you skewing your blog so that you draw that type of audience?
Actually, no. I do have more men who comment, and I think it's probably because of the topic itself. I'm seen as a make-money online blogger, although that's not quite what I see myself as. And really, I think that I'm trying to write these things not really to be technical. I mean, you know, when you said that you didn't understand it and it was overly technical, I'm actually thinking that except for when I do some of the research stuff, that I'm actually breaking it down and trying to make things easy for everyone. I really am.
Okay, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put your blog in the chat room, and I want somebody who's in there to go to your site and have them tell me whether or not they think your blog is too technical. Because, I mean, there's a lot of things that you write in your blog that I really just don't understand. But if you say that you are not writing for a specific audience, you are writing, well, okay, then let me ask you another question. Are you writing to share information, to give information, or to pull information from others?
The first two. I you know, for instance, if there's something, well, one of my most popular posts was, I wrote it last year, was telling people how to index their email if they use Thunderbird, Google Thunderbird email, how to get it so that Google Desktop would index their email.
Now,
and
you see what you just said? But listen, you said something about Thunderbird email. The only word I understood in what you just said was email.
Oh.
That's it.
Well, but in the post I say, if you use Thunderbird, which is an email client from Mozilla, as opposed to using Outlook, you know, so I say this is what Thunderbird is, and then I mention Google Desktop, and I say what Google Desktop is, and I mention how there's a problem with a lot of people where Google Desktop is supposed to be something, and it doesn't work in Vista, but it will scan your entire computer so that then you can go to Google Desktop, you know, pull up your browser, pull up Google Desktop, put in a word, and any time that word shows up in any file you have on your computer, it will list it on Google Desktop. And the thing is that it's supposed to do that for email also, but sometimes there's this thing you have to do if you use Thunderbird instead of Outlook so that it will go through your email. So,
okay.
And that's what I did. I talked about the step-by-step process on how to do it. Now, you're
all
right.
All right, we're going to take a little survey right here and right now. first let me welcome the caller from the 925 area code, and who is this?
Hi, Beverly. It's Rachel Laverne.
Hi, Rachel. How are you today?
I'm great. And yourself?
I'm well, thank you. Rachel, let's start with you. Did you understand what Mitch was trying to explain?
I have to admit, I just joined about...
Okay, that's okay.
Ago.
We're going to go back and we're going to ask... Monique, are you there?
Yes.
Did you understand it?
I didn't understand it primarily because I don't use Google Thunderbird, but I look for that type of advice all the time about different tools and how to integrate. So I haven't seen that post yet, which I'm probably going to look it up now, but I probably would have found that useful.
Okay. So she would have found it useful, but if not something she would have necessarily – well, no, she did. She said that she actually looks for posts like that, and there are some exceptions to every rule. Now, let me ask you, Mitch, when you go to look for other blogs to read, what are you mostly gravitated towards? What types of blogs?
Well, now remember, I also write three different blogs. So
that's
I'm
true.
Looking for, I go through a lot of different topics. Obviously, you know, I read your blog, I subscribe to the feed. I read a lot of blogs that talk about how to make money online. I read a lot of blogs on leadership and management. I read a lot of blogs on finance. I read other blogs on SEO, although most of the time I wonder why. and I read some blogs that I just find fascinating writing. There's one lady, her name is Mira Lisa, and she writes a fascinating blog. I am just so impressed by it. And it's nothing, for the most part, that's ever in any field that I would probably follow. It's just a very good blog.
Is it her writing? Is it what she has to say, or is it a combination?
I think it's both. It's both. It's very fascinating. For instance, she will do something where she will say, 67 ways to do such and such, you know, whatever. And she will then give you places where she read about something, and she will give you links to those things, and she will talk a little bit about that person if she knows something about that person. And then she just writes this brilliant stuff. And so I look for that also. I look for some people who just write in a fashion that just fascinates me.
Okay. So if for based on the blogs that you do you read most blogs by men or most blogs by women, or is it really an even combination of both?
I don't go out looking for one or the other. Most of the blogs that have to do with internet stuff and make money online kind of thing, whatever, you know, because I'm always looking for that, most of those are written by men. So, you know, there is a lot of men. The finance blogs I read are mainly men. The healthcare blogs are actually 50-50, believe it or not. But just for, you know, pure writing, it's definitely 50-50.
And I am so glad that you just said that about the blogs about making money are mostly written by men. Why do you think that is?
Good question.
And just keep it real. Just keep it real. I mean, because I'm going to ask Monique and Rachel the same thing. Why do they think so? Because, I mean, I agree with you. But why do you think that is?
You know what? I think it's kind of a nature of the beast kind of thing. I think that, truthfully, there's probably a lot more men who are looking at their jobs or lack thereof. And, you know, truthfully, unemployment in America has hit way more men than women. And that's just a fact. And they're looking for other ways to make money, and the internet always sounds pretty good. And I don't know if you've ever seen any of these commercials late at night by this company called Internet Millions with this guy, Jeff Paul. You've seen it then. Right?
Somebody is laughing, which means they've seen it.
Yeah, I was laughing. I've seen it.
Okay. Anyway, you've got these shows. They come on late at night. It's got the two women with the microphone and the low-cut blouses, and they're talking to these men and saying, tell me how much money you make. I make $25,000 a month. I made $50,000 last week. And they're all lying. But the thing is, they're gearing it towards men because women aren't sitting there looking at this. And so they're gearing themselves toward men because they know what their audience is. And, you know, that's what it is. And so you get all these guys who get online and they try to do all this stuff. And we know it's not easy to do, and so they go out looking for more. And it's more men who are out there saying, hey, I think I can make money off of these guys. I'll write some stuff and see if I can get them to buy it. And so it just perpetuates itself.
Okay, Monique, do you agree with that, or do you think that women actually are out there writing about making money as well? Do you see more men doing it, or is it pretty evenly handed?
I really don't think that it's evenly handed. I think it's definitely more men that are on top than women. For whatever reason, the men are definitely getting more exposure in terms of being the authority figures. When you think of all the internet marketing gurus, it's male dominated.
Why do you think that is?
I wish I knew. I think maybe it's the technical side, or maybe that the marketing isn't appealing to, you know, the problems that internet marketing would solve for a woman in terms of, you know, homemaking and providing an additional income. That's one of the reasons why when Russell Brunson did on his microcontinuity launch, the interview with his case study with Joy Anderson, how that was interesting to me, that he had a woman that had this microcontinuity site that she was started a home preschool, and you just don't see that a lot in internet marketing right now, unfortunately. Why that is, maybe the women are underground and afraid to speak up. Maybe that could be the case. I wish I knew.
Well, how about if I put a little different spin on it? Just a little bit of a different spin.
Okay.
My opinion as to why, well, let me put it this way. Let me rephrase that. I do believe that women are out there pitching and marketing and selling, but what they're not doing it is they're not doing it in the same way that a man is doing it.
Okay.
We are much more engaging and conversational when we come on and we chat with each other. We don't just come on like gangbusters and tell you about the 7 Twitter secrets that are going to make you $1,000 in a day. We start out by asking you how your day is and what's going on in your day. And then we casually slip in the fact that we know how you can make $1,000 in a day. If you don't have anything else going on in your world today, let me tell you how you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
So we do it differently because we do social networking differently in the same way that we blog differently. Now,
I think the big too is that we're not getting as much exposure. Like, you see the men are on the forefront, but you just don't see the women as much doing the bigger marketing channels and doing, like, big product launches and stuff like that that you hear about in internet marketing all the time. You just don't see women doing that. And I do agree with you that women are more incognito with the way they market, you know, in terms of engaging and being more developing a relationship first. So I do agree with that. But I think it has to do with also the marketing, too. For whatever reason, the way women are leveraging marketing right now, and I'd love to have some other people on the call to know what they're doing also, but I think that can make a big difference, too, in terms of what kind of the size of your audience that you have.
So do you think Mitch and Monique, and I'm going to ask, and anybody else who wants to call in and chime in on this, because I think that I'm hearing something here, and I just want to know what you all think. Do you think that men are intentionally trying to close women out or close the ranks when it comes to marketing themselves as the quote-unquote expert when it comes to writing about whatever product or service or business or whatever it is? Do you think that men are intentionally doing this? Because if you notice, women will support men a million times more than men will support women. Yes, I do have men who come to my blog and they read, and sometimes they post, most times they don't. But I don't have a problem going to a man's blog, and if I see something that he's written that I agree or don't agree with, I have a problem letting him know. But men, on the other hand, seem to have some issue when it comes to supporting women. Agree, Mitch?
No.
Mitch is different.
you know what? And I'll tell you, I'm going to throw out a name. You've probably seen her on Twitter, Lynn Terry. I don't know
if
you've seen the name. I think you have.
Yes.
Okay. You visit Lynn Terry's blog and you look at any of her posts, and she probably has at least a 50-50 mix of women and men.
She's an exception to the rule. She is an exception to the rule.
Well, Alice Seba gets the exact same thing. Alice Seba is another well-known female internet marketer. Alexandra Brown gets the exact same kind of thing. And so does, and I'm trying to remember what her name is, oh my God, Patsy something, the two blog women. I mean, I think that what you have is that you have certain areas that men really want to write about. They don't care whether it's a man or a woman who's writing it, as long as they see something that they believe they can get something out of. And then they will comment.
So they have to be able to get something out of it. They can't just sit down and read a blog and a feel-good blog that's going to make them feel excited about their day. They've got to get something more out of it. Okay.
Well, most men are not going to get anything out of a feel-good blog. You know, they're just not going
to. They're action-oriented. Tell me what to do, and I'll go do it.
Okay. So then, okay, now you know what? This makes so much sense now. So you're saying then the strategy for a woman, if she wants to attract more male readers, more male customers, she needs to write information where men can use it and they can see that it is going to benefit them in some way.
Yeah. But having said that, that's pretty much the standard for everybody. I mean, if a man is out there writing something that nobody cares about, they're not going to comment or even read it just because it's a man writing it. So it really, that's the full cycle of what marketing is supposed to be about, if that's what you care about.
I should not have a blog where I'm just talking about family issues because nobody really cares about my family issues.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. No, no. What I'm saying is, okay, let's face a fact here. Your blog is called Baby Boomer Diva. There's not a lot of men who want to be Baby Boomer Divas. And when you write on Twitter, you gear everything mainly towards women. Now, some men who are comfortable, I'm comfortable, will come and check out your website and read your blog and make your comments. But we know this is still America. It may be the 21st century, but, you know, most men are still living 200 years in the past. They don't want to read that. They're going to go elsewhere. But that doesn't mean that you stop because you have your market that you're geared towards. And you and I, we've talked about this on previous interviews. That is your market. You're not really looking to get the other market. If you decided you wanted an across-the-board market, you would change the focus of your blog, or else you would create a different blog and then change the focus of that blog. But you're getting the audience you really want.
Yes, yes. Monique, do you blog?
Yes, I do blog a bit, yes.
Okay, and are you going after a specific audience, a specific type of audience?
Yes, I have 3 blogs, actually, 2 of them that I work with more frequently than others. I'll tell you about the one that I've kind of put to the back burner. It's called Inner Fabulosity, and it's about the book Fabulosity. So it's all purple and you know, real girly-like and talks about how your jeans fit and stuff like that. So that's more for women. Well, then I have the Lean Six Sigma blog, which that particular industry is primarily male-dominated. So it's not girly. I mean, it's blue, but, I mean, it's the focus of that blog is on the topic of Lean Six Sigma. And then my most recent blog is Social Marketability, which is specifically on marketing using social media. So when I make a blog, it's really hard, and I understand what Mitch does, and he just writes what he wants to write so he doesn't get put in a box. Tim Ferriss kind of does the same thing when he talks about, like, lifestyle development, so he talks about his experiments and stuff. So it's all the way you set up your blog from the beginning to determine which niche that you want to fit in. So I have targeted those 3 different blogs for 3 different types of audiences. Like, I don't mix my Lean Six Sigma tweets with my Social Marketability, my Monique Wade account on Twitter. I keep those separate because the Lean Six Sigma folks want to hear about different tweets than the people that are on my Monique Wade account. So I try to keep them separate so that I don't lose people who aren't interested in the topic.
Gotcha.
I wish you'd put a link, Monique, on your Twitter page so that I didn't know you had a blog either.
Let me do this because I want to make sure, because I want to stay on this subject just for a second here. The Virtual Pros, and I want to thank you all in the chat room for coming in and listening to the show, says, no, men are not closing women out. And I would really love to hear more from you, Virtual Pros, about why you feel that way. And you also say that it's substance that counts, not how was your day. Substance that counts, not how was your day. So, you know, like you, Monique, I have several blogs. I have Baby Boomer Bev that really does talk about personal issues, something that's going on in my world. As a matter of fact, I just wrote about having an experience in the emergency room yesterday. I thought I was having a heart attack, and I shared that, you know, very personal experience with my readers. I have Boomer World, where I talk about baby boomers, you know, anything that's going on in Baby Boomer World. And then, of course, I have Talk to Bev, where I'm talking about media stuff. Now, let me ask both of you this, since you are bloggers. Question. Should we, as bloggers, give any commentary of any type on issues? Now, I know you just did it, Mitch, with the whole Henry Louis Gates, which was a little, you know, it was really different from what you normally do. But you kind of did that. Do you think that we should ever, in our blogs, offer commentary about an issue?
Definitely.
Yes.
Okay,
That's
your home base.
Definitely.
Yes.
Okay.
That's your home base. You can talk, when you're in your living room, you can talk about whatever you want to talk about in your living room. That's your home.
Okay, so then, but you don't mix business with pleasure now. You don't sit down and talk
about. It has to be
related
to the theme of that blog.
Okay, right. It has to relate to the theme of the blog.
Okay,
right.
But remember what that's my business blog. Now, what do I talk about in my business? I talk about leadership and management. I talk about diversity and racism. I give seminars on diversity and racism. That was a perfect opportunity to talk about diversity and racism in America. And I did in the post. Yeah, I backed up President Obama and what he had to say, and then I added that one of the problems that we've had in this country is we have had people, like you talked about, being pulled over. I've been pulled over in my neighborhood when I was younger because there weren't a lot of black people in this area, and they would just pull you over and look at your ID, why are you here? Because I live here. So, you know, that still happens now. So, you know, for anyone to say, well, you know, because I read this a couple times, well, see, the president proves he was a black president this week. Well, yeah, I bet President Obama was pulled over a bunch of times when he was younger, too. But like I said, I talk about racism and diversity, so I have to take stands. I talked about President Obama's health care plan because I do health care in my business. So, yeah, I have to offer my opinions on those, as well as when I offer, quote-unquote, my expertise in these fields, because those are those times that I get where there's something that's a current event where I can make a commentary and try to show how come we need to talk about these things.
You have just opened up a door, and I am going to slam right into it. I am going to slam right into this door because you have opened the door, and now we are going to get, I don't want to say low down and funky here, but we are definitely going to step into this door. I've got to take a break because I got to pay a bill. But we are talking about blogging, males versus females, African Americans versus everybody else. And when we come back, we are going to talk about a highly controversial subject when it comes to blogging. You're listening to Passions here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Beverly Mahone, and I'll be back in just a moment.
Are you a coach, writer, or author trying to figure out how online promotion works? It can be like a jigsaw puzzle with many pieces to fill. But when you have someone like Teresa Morrow helping you out, you'll discover it really isn't so hard after all. Let Teresa Morrow from Key Business Partners manage all those little details for your next coaching program or book launch. Contact Teresa at KeyBusinessPartners@Verizon.net or visit her website at www.KeyBusinessPartners.com. You'll be glad you did.
We are back. The show is called Passion here on Blog Talk Radio, and I am your host, Beverly Mahone, and we are talking about male versus female bloggers. How do we blog differently? What about us makes us unique, the same, et cetera, et cetera. Before we went to break, my guest, Mitch Mitchell, opened up a door, and I'm getting ready to walk right into it. He talked about the fact that he blogged about the whole situation involving President Obama, this sergeant in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and Henry Louis Gates, and the whole mess about, you know, whether there was some racial profiling. You know, President Obama said that it was a stupid thing that the sergeant did, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Mitch and Monique. Mitch, I'm directing this right to you, but Monique, I do want you to chime in.
Okay.
How lightly should we as African Americans tread when it comes to blogging about race, racism, the issues that affect us, knowing that our virtual world, I don't know about yours, but my virtual world is pretty bright, pretty light. So when I put out a post about race, I'm not going to get any comments because it's going to open up some wounds and it's probably going to be controversy. So how lightly should we be treading knowing that we can affect our followers, we will affect possibly business connections, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, okay, I'll say it this way. I don't think I tread lightly at all, but I do obviously, you know, you change the language. I don't go out there and say kill so-and-so or, you know, let's fight this, whatever, because that's not my style. I will talk about an issue, though. I won't back away from any issues. And, you know, truthfully, I think that I'm supposed to do that. I have known since I was a kid pretty much what my role in society was supposed to be. And I play my role to the hilt. But that doesn't mean that the day that someone comes up to me and says, I don't think of you as black, or you're not like other black people, that I'm supposed to let that go. And I've heard that often in my life. And so if I'm going to do that to people that I see in person, I'm certainly not going to pull back just because I have a blog that's a business blog. I will change the language somewhat. And it's not a bunch because, you know, I don't use bad language in my life. So it's nothing like that. And it's not as overtly direct, but it's forceful enough and truthful. And it gets my point across. At least I hope it does.
Okay. Now, Monique, let me ask you, do you how lightly do you tread? Do you even use your photo on your blog so that people know that you're a black female?
Yes, I do use my photo on my blog.
Okay.
But I can't say that I've explored talking about a controversial issue such as that has specifically to do to race. I can't say that I've explored that territory yet because I try really hard not to be a news chaser because if you're a news chaser, to me, like it takes a lot of energy to keep up with everything that's going on. And I try to focus on topics that are useful to, like I said, that target market, but that's not an issue that I have explored yet in terms of my blogging. Mitch has been blogging a lot longer than I have, so like I said, that's not something that I have explored yet, doing a post specifically on race or ethnic issues.
Well, you know, as a former, well, not because, you know, once you're a journalist, you're always a journalist. So as a veteran journalist, just say this. You know, now that I am no longer in corporate America writing as a, you know, quote-unquote paid journalist, I feel I have the freedom to say a lot of things that I've always wanted to say when I was in television but couldn't say because I had to be, quote-unquote, objective. So now I have a forum. But, you know, I still recognize that I really do believe I must tread lightly because when you listen to another person say what they say, it is interpreted altogether differently than when you read what they say. And as a matter of fact, during the presidential campaign, Mitch, you and I both know, Twitter was just a freaking nightmare to be on because there were so many hateful, racially charged, sexually charged comments out there involving President Obama and even Hillary Clinton. I mean, it was a mess. And I had to, you know, contain myself so that I would not get caught up in the fray, because I also recognize that in the world that I'm in virtually, that I've got to deal with everybody, and I cannot and I will not put myself in a position where, I mean, I'm just blatantly offensive. Is that right or wrong?
I think blatantly offensive is one thing. I would never be blatantly offensive. You're right, though. During, oh, my God, that last month and a half, some of the things that I was reading that people were saying about Obama as he was running were easily out of hand and out of control. And I deleted a lot of people I was following at that time. You could disagree with Obama, and I wouldn't have had a problem with that, because even now I don't agree with everything he says and everything he does. But when you say certain things and then say, well, I didn't mean that to be racial, yes, you did. You absolutely meant it. You went right to the core of it. You said it. You said it in an open forum. I got to now let you go. And I could care less if we ever worked together again. I could lose a whole bunch of money. I don't care. And, you know, being blatant like that, that doesn't help anybody. But expressing your opinion, by all means, you should always express your opinion on something.
So, Monique, do you feel the same way? You should be able to say what you want to say, when you want to say it, to whom you want to say it, or do you think that, you know, race should not really be a factor, or even sex? Because, you know, I mean, we have a kind of like a double thing here, you know. We could say something and you know, it might be misinterpreted because we're a female. And I do think, let me just say this, and I don't know what you think about it, but I do think there are some women on Twitter who use their sex appeal.
Oh,
to,
my God.
Let's just put it out there. I've seen some videos of these women who claim that they're marketing something, but yet they're marketing in this top that, you know, they should not have on, and they're very beautiful women. So what are they doing?
It's not them, Beth.
Who they're working
every time
for.
I get some of those people following me, I click on a link, because I check it in a program called MailWasher, so everything is always, it's still on the server, so I don't see an image, and I see these names, so I click on the link, I go to the Twitter page, and I see these pictures. And you're right, there's these gorgeous women, but those aren't the people who that blog is. If you look at it, it's not them. And they may have a link to a page, but it's like a tiny URL. It's fake. It's not those women who are doing the marketing. It's never them. It's some guy who has figured out that he can trick a lot of guys into following if he puts up a picture of a pretty girl. Now, there's a topic you may want to talk about one day.
No, but I'm talking about, but bitch, no. I am talking, and I don't want to drop names here, but if I said these names, you'd know exactly who I was talking about. I'm talking about women who use, that we know on Twitter, who use their sex appeal to attract men. I mean, and these are not faces. I'm talking about real women who do it. Is that right? Should you use what you have to get what you want? Monique.
I think women have a certain finesse that men just don't have. And I think you should use that charming, engaging, dainty, flower-like, you know, persona that we can just emote. I think you should use that. But when you get overly sexual, then that's just it's offensive. It's just wrong. Like, you shouldn't do
well,
that.
Well, what do you classify as overly sexual? I mean, you know, you don't even have to put the word sex in a blog. What is overly sexual?
Well, I think if you're, you know, doing your YouTube videos and you start out eating strawberries or, you know, oh. you're jumping in the pool with a bikini on or something like that, then, yeah, you're using your sex appeal to get what you want.
And you're trying to talk about social networking, right?
I know. What kind of networking you want to do? Okay. But, I mean, if you're an attractive woman, yes, you definitely need to use that to your advantage, because in social media, people see your face all the time. And I think you definitely should use what you have, you know, in that term, but you need to be smart about it. You need to show that you have some intelligence and that you know what you're talking about, not just being a showpiece or a trophy head, you know.
Okay. Mitch, are you swayed by how a woman looks when you decide to follow her or not? Or do you really check to see if she has credentials?
I have my standard for Twitter. And my standards for Twitter is I go to the page and I see what people are writing and I see if they have ever written anybody directly in a real message. And I look through 60 messages. If I don't see something like that, 60 messages, I bounce it. If I see someone who is following 1,000 people and they got 12 people following back, I don't follow them. So, I have my standards. And, you know, no, I'm not following someone just because they're pretty. You know, I'm married to a woman who looks pretty good, so I have no need just to follow someone for that, you know.
But I think there's some single men online that do that. They get sucked into that whole the way that person looks and then starts following them. I think people definitely use that, their attractiveness in social media. I mean, there's some attractive men, you know, in social media. I mean,
Oh, yeah. I've seen quite a few of them.
I mean,
I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Writing some pretty good stuff, who I just dropped a couple days ago because he decided to change his avatar to him with his shirt off.
Oh my God.
Okay, I don't need to keep looking at this.
Right.
And so I got rid of it. I mean, you know, he was saying some good stuff, but every once in a while he wasn't, and I just decided, I don't need to keep seeing that picture. And so I got rid of it.
So, okay. Well, I've got a guy who has his shirt off, too, in the pool, and he doesn't look bad. And I do also know that he's gay, so it's okay. But so, you know, that's okay by me. But you know what? Time is running down here. So in the few minutes that we have, and time always goes so quickly, Mitch, when you are my guest, and I think one of these times I'm going to have to schedule a 90-minute show so that we can make sure that we get everything in. But in the few minutes we have left here, let me ask both of you, where do you see blogging in the next year? Do you see it going the same way? Because, you know, Mitch, I did read the blog you wrote about the New York Times saying that, you know, bloggers are like jumping ship. Where do you see blogging headed as we move into the next year and the next 10 years?
I think that the pattern is actually going to continue, but it's going to be a lot more dramatic. I think that as there's been fewer jobs and there's more people who are really looking for ways to make money, and they all think that they can just create a blog and that everyone is going to flock to it, that it's going to grow, and then they're going to abandon it really quick, and you're going to have all this dead space on the Internet that at some point you hope someone goes through and clears it out. I really believe that. I hope that some of these people at least learn how to write something and be somewhat engaging. But in my new career of writing, I'm learning that a lot of people are taking these articles that they're paying me to write, and they're using that as their blog posts. And I guess part of me is glad that they're using me because I know I'm giving them something that's at least worth something. But another part says, okay, but where's your personality?
Okay, and, you know, I have to tell you, I actually saw, I guess they call them vlogs, where somebody actually wrote a blog and then read it on camera. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. And I thought, are we moving in that direction? Are we moving in a direction where people will now just sit in front of a camera and just give their thoughts?
I think we are. I think using video incorporated with your blog marketing strategy is going to extend your reach. The same way, like if you put this RSS feed through your blog. You know, you're extending your reach through iTunes because it's a podcast. So I think people are definitely going to get more multimedia with their blog posts, and even use that primarily as a way to communicate their message, because it's just easier for anybody to record a video with a flip camera, you know, and say what they're thinking rather than worrying about writing mechanics and having the right picture and whatnot and so forth. And not only that, there's some people out there that are just really entertaining to watch. So
yes.
I certainly support, you know, the whole blogging expansion. And I think blogging is going to expand even more and more now that people are talking about Twitter, and it's almost impossible to have a blog now and not incorporate that with Twitter, because, I mean, Twitter is just an excellent marketing tool to get your information out there. So this whole blogging is dead mess, like, it's such a bunch of mess. Like, that's so false. It's not even funny. I think more people are going to be blogging. It's going to be better, and I think what's going to be the real difference is the value aspect and the engagement factor. The people that are going to do well are the ones that are going to be the ones that are providing value, actionable information that people can learn and apply, and that are actually looking to their audience for help, you know, on how to serve them best. It's going to be more a service-based interaction, I think. And that's what Twitter is going to help people do.
Well, you kind of just answered this next question, so I'm going to pass it on. Rachel, you're there, right?
Yes, I'm back. Hi.
Hi. Let me ask you a question in 30 seconds or less. What makes a good blogger?
What makes a good blogger?
Yeah, what in your opinion makes a good blogger?
I think a good blogger addresses the needs of the people that are following, or their readers. You know, they know what the people are searching for, and they look to fill those needs.
Mitch, what do you think makes a good blogger?
I think a good blogger is someone who has a lot to say and can say it and spell it right and use some pretty good grammar and can continually come up with something to say.
I love the way you said it. Spell it right. Because that is so true. I can't tell you the number of grammatically incorrect sentences that I have read on blogs. Just makes me cringe. What's a bad blogger? Well, we know a bad blogger is somebody that can't spell and can't put together a sentence. Okay.
I mean,
well,
you
know what?
If you don't know what a bad blogger is saying, that's a bad blogger.
You think that you think blogging is here to stay?
Yeah.
Monique, you think blogging's here to stay?
Yes.
Rachel, you agree?
I hope so. I hope it is. I think it is.
Okay. And there's really nothing wrong with putting our personal business out there for the world to see.
No.
No, but I'd like to add the caveat that it really should also depend on the focus of your blog. I mean, I have a finance blog. And I would never have talked about the President Obama thing on my finance blog because it had nothing to do with it.
And if I could chime in, if I were to post something about the recent healthcare speech that President Obama did for my Lean Six Sigma blog, I would have talked about the waste elimination that he talked about, because you just don't hear people talking in that fashion about value-added versus non-value-added processes. You just don't hear President talking like that. So that would have been applicable to my Lean Six Sigma folks. So I probably would have took that whole interview into a whole other perspective. But it depends on the audience for that blog.
Okay, well, there you have it, folks. These are three bloggers. I've read each one of their blogs. I've gone to their website. Well, actually, I haven't read Monique's yet. I haven't yet.
No.
But she's going to give me her blog. But I want to just say I hope that you, by listening to this program, have learned something. Hope that, you know, it really wasn't about that wasn't really a teaching moment, but it was just kind of to break down male versus female, African Americans versus other ethnic groups, and just take a look at blogging and how we do it, et cetera, et cetera. So that's going to do it for this edition of Passions here on Blog Talk Radio. And as I say every week, thank you for tuning in. And remember, If you are living without passion, you are simply living in a fog. And, boy, next week we have got a hot show for you, my guest. Oh, you are going to love this guy. I'm not going to tell you anything else, but you got to stay tuned for next week. See ya.